Ghosts are here, needing to be fed with answers to the questions of the restless dead. There are dark thoughts circling in my head. I wish I'd listened to everything they said. The ghosts are.
Welcome to the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast, which features tales from the Ghosts on Drugs short story anthology edited by High Bender and Will Paoletto. Tonight's episode is The Yank by Rob E. Boley. It's performed by Grace Rex, Caroline Cotter, and Dana Watkins.
The exorcist walked into Phil and Ashley's bedroom, and I despised her instantly. This fit, attractive woman with shocking red hair and tinted glasses somehow managed to look sexy even in an ill-fitting black robe. I let out a low growl roar out of my host Phil's muscular bare chest. She ignored us and kept talking to Phil's girlfriend, Ashley.
I promise you everything will be okay, but under no circumstances are you to open this door, understand?
Ashley nodded. Tears glistened in her puffy eyes. She took one last look at Phil, his ankles and wrists roped to the bedposts, skin torn and bruised, an erection bulging in his sweatpants. I stuck Phil's tongue out at her, gave her a smarmy wink, and viciously dry-humped the musty air around the bed.
Miss me, cupcake?
I said. When she shut the door, I let loose my most evil laugh from Phil's chapped lips. A gritty chuckle worthy of Beelzebub himself. I kept on laughing. My eyes never left the door. I wouldn't even give the exorcist the courtesy of acknowledging her looming presence. She, in turn, ignored me completely. Standing over the bed, she pulled out a smartphone and focused on the screen. Its pale light illuminated a sprinkling of freckles on her face. Her red hair was twisted in an elaborate yet practical braid. She wore no makeup. That bitch didn't need it. After a long while, she placed the phone on the dresser. A recording of her voice came out of the phone, chanting the usual Latin bullshit.
Infernalis adversari omnis legio omnis denuncangario secta diabolica.
In the background, vague whimpering, I squirmed inside Phil. What kind of exorcist was this? Hell, talk about phoning it in. She placed a black leather bag on the dresser. Holy fuck, it was Prada. I knew what was coming. The crucifixes, the holy water, maybe some magical Jesus crackers. Except she pulled out a bottle of wine and a bronze goblet. She poured herself a healthy glass of red, rotated the goblet in a few slow circles, and drank. All the while, I kept laughing. And her phone kept preaching.
Serranios ipse treterit verbatim plebe sue, aradia ipse fortuidenem plebe sue.
After savoring a few more sips, she sat on the bed, bent over, and examined Phil's exposed limbs and chest. The laughter was starting to feel a bit silly, like I was more a stubborn child than an ominous otherworldly presence, but I would have felt all the more foolish if I'd stopped. While I kept on chuckling, she pulled down Phil's waistband and arched an eye at his erection. A cold hand lifted his balls, and suddenly my laughter wasn't so deep. She ran her fingers over the neat rows of old scars on his thighs and pulled his pants back up. Finally, she said,
I'm Tracy. What's your name?
I gazed defiantly at her.
I am Baldazar, bitch. I am Shaitan. I am Mastema. I am the father of lies and the prince of shadows and the king of nine hells.
She made a jerk-off motion with her hand.
Of course you are. Now tell me, who are you really? And don't say Belial or Azazel or any of that other bullshit. I've read the devil's Wikipedia page too.
I'm in control here. You are my pawn. only here because I allow it to be so.
Do you feel the need to be in control? Does the idea of letting go frighten you?
Nothing frightens me. I am the seed of shadow. I am the darkness that devours the sun.
You're a ghost. And you aren't fooling anyone. Can I please talk to Phil?
Phil is no longer here.
We both know that's not true. Phil, I know you can hear me. I'm sure this is all very exciting for you, the ultimate submission, the bottom of all bottoms. But this goes way beyond some sex fetish, far past whips and chains and ball gags. You've let a ghost inside your body, and you probably didn't have the good sense to use protection, did you? If you thought physical STDs were bad, you should see what they're like on the spiritual level.
Crammed deep in the recesses of his skull, Phil's consciousness flexed and quivered. I shoved him back down and whispered inside him. I didn't give you permission to rise, Phil. This witch tells lies. She's trying to divide us.
But, mistress, what's this about STDs?
Silent slave!
Did you even have the good sense to use a safe word?
Phil rattled the synapses around his limbic system.
I want a safe word.
There are no safe words in possessions, Phil. Now don't make me gag you.
Ashley cares deeply about you, Phil. So what's the problem? Is she too nice? Does she not give you the submissive thrills that you crave? Have you even tried talking to her about it? You know, you'd be surprised how many women get off on dominating their man. Maybe instead of letting a desperate ghost have control of your body, you should have been honest with your lover. Communication goes a long way. Maybe, too, you should explore why you have these needs, why you need to be controlled and abused.
Is that why you're here, witch? You think you're gonna resolve Phil's boyhood issues for him?
Don't tell her about the babysitter.
Shut up, Phil!
Actually, no. I'm here to help you.
I hucked up a bloody mass of phlegm and spat it in her face. It splattered on her sculpted cheek. She didn't even flinch. With a sigh, she wiped her sleeve across her face.
You would help me? Insolent underling. I'll eat your heart and tie your lung into knots.
Lungs into knots? Really? That's the best you've got? I mean, how do you even tie a lung? Hasn't it occurred to you to prepare material ahead of time?
That was kind of lame.
My anger bubbled over. I stuffed Phil's olfactory bulb into his astral mouth. With him silenced, I turned on the upstart ramp.
First, I'm managing two conversations at once. It's not easy. Second, lungs are very malleable. I could twist them into a thin rope and then tie them. Third, I assure you they'd be very intricate knots.
No doubt.
I gnashed Phil's teeth and gyrated his body. Slowly, I unwound my astral presence from his spine and stretched an arm out of his heart chakra. I smacked her precious goblet across the room. Wine arced through the air. I kicked both feet out of his root chakra, arching his body impossibly upward and rattling the whole bed frame. Tracy steadied herself, palms on the mattress and feet on the floor. She waited until I'd exhausted my tantrum. An inhuman rumble grumbled out of Phil's throat. A trick I'd learned from the ghost of an old jazz musician.
You done? Ready to talk?
I hissed at her. Spittle flying from Phil's mouth. She rolled her eyes, slinked back to her bag of tricks, and retrieved a can of spray paint and a parchment scroll. The phone droned on.
Laqueo and deceptio nequida, omnis fallace, libera nos, dominates.
She unrolled the waxy paper, some kind of stencil, down the length of Phil's chest and sprayed it with a black paint.
Don't worry, it's washable and non-toxic.
Is it craft time, dumbass?
When she removed the stencil, I saw that she'd painted a Ouija board upon Phil's bare chest. The yes and no glistened over his nipples, the goodbye on his navel, and the alphabet and numbers on the space in between. She held up a battery-operated personal fan and blew cold air over his wet flesh. I writhed and convulsed, but to no avail. Within a couple of minutes, the paint dried.
You think you're safe in there, but what you don't realize is that the flesh doesn't lie. The flesh betrays you.
She straddled Phil, careful to avoid his bulging crotch, and pressed a bright purple piece of glass that appeared to be somewhere between a Ouija planchette and a palm massager directly over Phil's heart.
Were you a man?
I tried to snatch the glass through Phil's chakras, but Tracy proved too strong. The glass slid over Phil's left nipple.
No.
I suspected. Tell me, dear, what was your name?
The glass glided down back and forth across Phil's abdomen, spelling out my name.
B-A-R-B-A-R.
Oh, it's nice to meet you, Barbara. Tell me, why are you here?
How I railed against her. I bucked and frothed and writhed and screamed, but still the glass slid zigzag across Phil's stomach.
Y-A-N-K.
I scratched my ghostly nails upon the inside of Phil's skin, carving gashes from within. Soon, blood dripped out of the four letters on his chest.
F-A-H-Q.
Very mature. I know that you're here for the yank, as you call it. I'm no fool. But why are you really here? Why haven't you gone into the light?
Again, the glass glided over flesh. I screamed at her, I'll talk! Stop this! Just stop this! She slid off of my host, once again perched on the side of the bed, legs crossed, wine in hand. Damn you.
Damn me? I'm not the one pretending to be the devil, Barbara.
Don't call me that.
Fine, what should I call you?
Bibby. When I had friends, they called me Bibby. The name sounded silly on Phil's lips. He squirmed against me, and I shoved him back into the recesses of his brain. You stay back there, slave! Don't make me punish you again!
I like that. Bibby, tell me why you need the yank.
You have no idea how amazing it feels. Imagine the best orgasm you've ever had, then multiply it by 100 and drizzle it with dark chocolate, and it still wouldn't come close.
I understand why you're using yank to fill this hole inside you, but what we need to explore is why you have this hole in the first place. When your body died, why didn't you go into the light, Bibby?
Because I wasn't done. She patted Phil's arm. Inside the host, Phil nudged at me again. I lashed inward at him, whipping his consciousness with an open palm. Not now, Phil! The adults are talking.
How did you die, Bibby?
I was smothered by a stranger.
Ah, so you were murdered.
Not exactly. I'd met him online. He wasn't as thin or muscular or young as the man in the picture he'd sent, but they never were. See, this hole you're talking about, I've always had it. My first husband couldn't fill it, neither could my second, or all the other lovers before, during, in between, or after. I always wanted more than any of them could give me, but that didn't stop me from trying. The stranger and I were having a little anonymous nooner in a cheap motel. He'd tied me to the bed and given me a good hard ride. I was so close when he pulled out and clutched his chest. He collapsed on top of me, a mess of sweaty, hairy, fat flesh pressing into my face. That's how I died. Right on the verge of orgasm, smothered in man belly.
It's not too late to go into the light. You just have to open yourself up to it.
I can't do that.
Well, you can't stay inside Phil either, and you can't keep possessing bodies.
My patience for her prattle had come to an end. I lashed out.
I could do whatever the fuck I want. If you want me out of Phil so bad, tear me out, you twat.
I needed the yank more than ever. The craving burned inside me like a hot coal. I burrowed my arms into Phil's arms. His biceps convulsed. His forearms bulged. I clawed at his wrists until gashes yawned open beside the ropes binding him to the bedpost. Blood spurted across the bed.
Damn it.
Tracy tore strips of her robe and wrapped them around the wounds. I hadn't dug deep enough to kill him, but I needed her to know that I meant business. Once she had the wrists bound, she wiped a splatter of blood off her forehead. I laughed in her face and spit at her.
Okay, the hard way then.
With a nod, she pulled the usual gear out of her Prada bag. She also snapped on a pair of glistening black latex gloves, which I'd never seen an exorcist do before.
Regnatere cantata Dio pastille serranos.
She accented each syllable with a wave of a crucifix and a splatter of holy water. And so it began. I fought hard, forcing her to rip me tooth and claw out of Phil's body. The more I fought, the better the yank would be. Tracy chanted and pounded and screamed and slapped. I, in turn, cursed and spat and gyrated and vomited. In the end, she cast me out. I'd never known such pleasure existed. Her Latin words spanked me in all the right ways. She worked and pounded and thrust at me with her skills, and oh my, was she ever talented. When my grip on Phil finally loosened, she somehow grabbed my spectral ankles with her black gloved hands. It had never been like this before. She slid me backward out of my host, bit by tantalizing bit, and a wave of pure euphoria washed over the entirety of my being. My non-corporeal head lulled. I moaned, lost in the delicious pleasure. She massaged and jerked me out until I landed in a quivering heap on the floor. Through rippling waves of sensual bliss, I could hear Phil sobbing like a little bitch and Tracy's reassuring voice.
You're going to be okay. It's over.
This was the moment when I'd usually skulk away to lick my wounds raw and start looking for my next host. except I was beyond exhausted, and soon Tracy's gloved hand scooped me off the floor and into a large mason jar. She screwed on the lid, which looked to be made of silver. It took me a while to recover and focus on what was happening in the room. Through the distorted glass, I watched Tracy unknot Phil's ropes. He curled into the fetal position on the stained sheets. She staggered to the door, opened it, and called for Ashley. Phil's girlfriend hurried into the room, and Tracy held her by the shoulders before she could see Phil.
Listen to me, Ashley. Phil is a bit worse for the wear, but he's fine. The demon is gone, however, it's up to you to make sure it doesn't come back.
What do I need to do?
It's a ritual of sorts. Now that Phil has been a host, he'll be an easy target for other demons. He's marked. So once a week, maybe more, you'll need to tie Phil up and whip him.
Whip him?
You can use a paddle or a riding crop or just your hand. It'll ward off any demons that come sniffing around. Think of it as preventative medicine.
Whatever it takes.
I'll leave a pamphlet.
You're leaving? What do we owe you?
The down payment will cover it. No extraordinary measures were needed.
The last thing I saw before Tracy tucked my jar into her Prada bag was Ashley cradling Phil. They sobbed and clenched each other like they'd never ever let go again. As she closed her bag, the last thing Tracy said to them was,
"The pain on his chest comes off with vinegar and water."
Anxiety welled inside me. Where was she taking me? What was she going to do to me? Through the thick glass, I heard footsteps, a car engine rumbling to life, and then the slow grind of rubber on asphalt. The music of Taylor Swift, Amanda Palmer, and PJ Harvey provided a soundtrack for our journey. Despite myself, I couldn't help tapping along with the tunes, rattling the jar against the contents of her bag of tricks. Part of me didn't care what happened next, for I'd just achieved what could only be the ultimate in pleasure. I was ready to pass on. Of course, a much larger part of me already craved another helping of that orgasmic bliss. Soon, tires crunched over gravel. A car door slammed. The bag lifted and was carried through the air. Moments later, Tracy pulled me out of the bag and into a windowless room. The wooden door was shut. No pictures adorned the walls. Flames flickered atop multiple candles. The bag was sitting on a neatly made bed, the only furniture in the room aside from a tall wardrobe, a plush chair, and a bare desk. She placed my jar on the desk and slid on a new pair of black latex gloves.
It's time to go into the light. You need peace.
No. Please, don't. I'm not ready. She ignored me, pulled out a smartphone, closed her eyes, and chanted in a language I didn't recognize.
Juen mla, juen msoti.
Remembering how I'd made the jar tap inside the bag, I thrashed against the glass. Sure enough, the jar rattled closer to the desk's edge. I shoved with all my might. The jar tipped and rolled, spinning me round and round. A second later, it dropped to the floor. Dazed, I saw those black hands coming for me. I dove for the door, but a ward repelled me backward. Tracy came for me, her face a blank mask. There was only one place left to hide. I lunged for Tracy's root chakra. Normally, most hosts I chose had plenty of room inside them. Tracy's spirit, however, nearly filled her body to the brim. If I was going to get inside, I'd have to pull her out first. I grasped her spirit's ankles. Her body fell to its knees. I tugged harder. Her body collapsed sideways in a heap. Her spirit thrashed and kicked, but my desperation made me strong. It took some doing, but finally I tossed her out of the body. Before diving inside the fleshy sanctuary, I took one victorious glance over my shoulder, middle finger raised in triumph, and abruptly stopped. My finger fell. Tracy wasn't a misplaced soul at all. No, she was a ghost. Just like me. Her phantom presence lay twitching on the hardwood floor. She glowed the color of a spring sunrise glistening on morning dew, and looking at her ghost and the body on the floor, it was clear that they didn't match. She looked up at me and said,
"Sorry about all that. I've always been into role-playing. Go ahead. Climb inside. I'll do you next."
I had 100 questions, but I wasn't about to pass up another yank. Eager for bliss, I worked myself into the body, opened its eyes, and flexed its fingers. Soon enough, Tracy's ghost gripped my ankles and pulled. We went at it all night long, tugging and massaging each other to the peak of pleasure and beyond. Early the next morning, Tracy sat at the desk sipping the last half of a cup of coffee. I'd used the body to drink the first half. The doors to the wardrobe hung open. We'd already experimented with many of the yummy accessories stashed inside, but not all of them. I had my eye on a cat of nine tails with a black leather crucifix handle. Tracy wrinkled her face, which I guess for all intents and purposes was now our face.
You put sugar in it.
My ghost gazed up from her lap. I like it sweet. She couldn't hear me from inside our body, but must have sensed that I'd said something, because she nodded before choking down another sip.
I used to be just like you, hopping from host to host trying to get out. That's what I call it inside the Yank. Getting out. It's a play on getting off. Then one day I realized I needed a partner. I found this body in a coma ward. Its spirit was long gone, so I took the body and set up shop as an exorcist. That was over 3 years ago. You wouldn't believe all the scumbag spirits I've come across since. The single scene for ghosts is murder. There's a lot of douchebags possessing people. But last night, when I started questioning you, I saw something special. Something I could work with.
I reached inside her and stroked her ghost's ankle. Our body tensed and smiled.
Not yet. Let me finish our coffee.
My spectral fingernails grazed against the space between her apparition's heel and calf. She shivered and moaned.
Fuck the coffee. Get me out, baby.
This has been the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast, which features tales from the Ghosts on Drugs short story anthology edited by High Bender and Will Paoletto. Please come haunt us again soon.
Ghost ride the whip.